The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good hump day to you here on the Power Hour. We have talked before. There's a website called geoengineeringwatch.org. We've had Dane Wigington on this show before. He's put out various warnings. We have another person on the forefront, an activist that has written books about this subject matter, named Peter A. Kirby. He is a researcher in California, author and activist in San Rafael. And he has written a book called Chemtrails Exposed, A New Manhattan Project. This came out in 2020. I must be breathing in too many chemtrails. First off, Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave. It's a pleasure.
Now, the thing is with chemtrails, I mean, everybody look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. Nope, it's a chemtrail. And people sometimes, this is probably one of the things that people who are not in the know probably chew on me more than ever when I sit there and I point up there and say, you see that? And they look at you like you're some sort of idiot. And they think it's just jet exhaust. And I said, well, I've seen the inside of the airplane, and there's these giant tanks on board, and what in the hell is going on here? You started doing research into this when, and when did you, when were you inspired to write this book? And I noticed from the accolades in the front of the book here that you've talked to Dane and others that are heavily involved in this movement.
Yeah. During the course of my chemtrail researches, I've come in contact with everybody in the movement. I have some level of communication with everybody that anybody's heard of in this movement. I started back in 2010, and to kind of cut to the chase, I was turned on to the fraud that is 9/11, and I was unaware of it for 8 years, so this was 2009. And so I said to myself, well, what else have they been getting away with?
And, yeah. And
so I turned to the new media and started seeing all these amazing stories. And chemtrails was just one of them. When I first saw it, I said to myself, well, that's crazy. Why would what could possibly be the motive for something like that? And they're just destroying everything in the process, including their own stuff. So it didn't make any sense to me. But as time went on, I saw more and more evidence for this. And what really changed my mind was the 2010 documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying, by Michael Murphy. And of course, that had Dane Wigington in it and Francis Mangels and others. And, you know, that when I saw the scientific evidence for it, that's when I said to myself, you know what, this is actually going on. And then I started digging deeper, looking into it more, and just finding nothing but evidence just everywhere. This has always been my problem. It's always been a problem of too much evidence, not too little. And I forget where it was exactly that I started getting published on activist post, but I do remember that I was just sort of in a Rambo type guerrilla fashion. I was going on forums and chat rooms and comment sections and stuff wherever I could post about this, and just, you know, learning things and confronting the trolls and whatnot. And then
I bet you were getting your share of ridicule too, weren't you?
Yeah, that's how I got started, just battling the trolls endlessly. but I was backing up what I was saying with research, and I think I started getting published on activist posts. Oh, yeah. The first thing I did, see, I'm here in California. Mm-hmm. And so I figured, well, if they're polluting the air with anything, there's probably a government agency that's monitoring the air, right? Because, I mean, you know, they do absolutely everything under the sun. So, and I looked for that, and I found the California Air Resources Board, and this is what first made my name. I went around their website, and it wasn't too hard to do. You had to sort of enter some information into certain fields, and they would produce a graph for you of ambient aluminum as well as ambient barium. So this is just toxins that are floating around in the air. The CARB themselves, the California Air Resources Board themselves, in their official literature, they say that none of this should be floating around in the air. They classify barium and aluminum as toxics, and they say these should not be in the air at all. And yet you see on their website, I took screenshots and it's in my book, of you see these charts of both aluminum and barium going up since right around the time that I had later determined was when they started doing the spraying domestically in around 1996, I think it was. Some people say 1995, I say 1995. It was written in the mid-90s. And from there to 2002, the ambient aluminum and barium in the air that we breathe was going up consistently, up and up and up, until 2002 when they stopped sampling for it. And see, I took these screenshots in around 2010, I guess it was. And, I contacted the CARB, and they just gave me the runaround and whatnot. And I think they were kind of pissed with me. I was actually sending all kinds of group emails. I would go on their website and find all their email addresses of all the people who worked there. And I sent all kinds of emails to them, notifying them of all this. And the CARB, California Air Resources Board, eventually sent, I think, some guy who was probably their CIA liaison after me, giving me calls, like trying to feel me out and whatnot. They never really did anything about it. But anyhow, to make a long story short, I published this on some, I think it was on, what's the name of that website? There's one forum website that's like the biggest one. I forget the name of I can't remember the name of it now. But anyway, I posted it, and it was getting some pretty good play. And then I noticed that it was on this, my posting had ended up on this website, Activist Post. And maybe I had heard of Activist Post at the time. I don't remember, but I started looking around. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I like this website. And the guy just posted me. And that's how my relationship with Activist Post started. And that's what really got the whole ball rolling on all this. And Michael made me, I don't know if Michael made me a staff writer like right away or after about a year or whatever it was. But anyway, I've done over 100 articles on Activist Post on chemtrails. So those are in my archives on Activist Post. And I've got the whole story in my book, Dave. It took 10 years.
I see. Yeah. How long did it take you to write it?
Over 10 years. And it cost over $10,000. It was thousands of hours of research involved.
Well, yeah, and see, research, folks, I don't know, I've written 8 books, and see, Peter's written this. I can tell you, based on what I see here for the research that he's done, I can tell you right now, this book costs a lot of money to produce. And it's not just the cost of the book itself. It's actually the research that goes into it, because time is money, and especially in research, that costs time and money. You said you spent 10 years working on this?
About that, yeah.
That's incredible.
Over $10,000, thousands of hours of research. And what it is, it's just simply a compilation and an exposition of the evidence, of court admissible evidence. I mean, this is stuff in their own words. It's all patents and government reports and books that are, come from a reputable publisher and things like that. And, at the risk of sounding full of myself, Chemtrails Exposed is not a book about chemtrails. There's quite a few of those. This is the book about chemtrails. If you read this book, it's 600 pages long with all the with the index and all the references and stuff. If you read this book cover to cover, you will have a thorough knowledge as to what's going on here. When I started looking into this, none of us knew what was going on here. We saw planes in the sky that were spraying something. That's about all we knew. I liken it to something that had fallen to Earth like a a sphere, like a metallic sphere, just falls to Earth, and you go and pick it up, and you're like, it's a metallic sphere. Like, I have no idea what this is, you know, why it is, how it came to be here and all this. But then what I did, I took that metallic sphere and I cracked it open and took all the insides out of it and placed it all in a big diagram for everybody to see every little bit of how all this works and how it's all interconnected and everything. You know, I know I believe in Christ, and I love Christ, and I read the Bible cover to cover, and it tells you over and over again not to toot your own horn. So, you know, I know what this is, but it's kind of hard for me to say what it is sometimes, you know what I mean? Because it's just, to this day, 4 years after it's published, it was published in 2020. The reason I'm still promoting it is because it's the only book that shows you tip to tail how this whole thing works, what it consists of, where it comes from, why it's being done, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And, you know, so I'm promoting it again. And the main reason, would you like to say something, Dave?
No, I was just, we have people that are in the know that have been studying this stuff forever today, and the phone lines are jamming up because they want to talk to the authority. Before we start taking your phone calls, folks, and we will take you in the order received, there is a difference, and this is something when I was getting into the book, I was looking at contrails, not to be confused with chemtrails. When you look up in the sky and you see this stuff, a lot of people who tend to ridicule us, and we're watching this, and had I not seen the inside of the airplane with all the tanks on it, and then not understood that NASA may have been involved in this, is that right? What's the difference? Yeah. What's the difference between contrails and chemtrails, so that the average layman on the street won't think that we're a bunch of conspiracy theorists like the government wants to portray us all as?
Well, contrails are a product of unadulterated jet fuel, whereas you're just putting jet fuel in an aircraft, and then there are certain atmospheric conditions that happen that produce contrails. I mean, you and I have been around long enough to know that before the mid-90s, I mean, I remember looking back at planes in the sky in the 70s and 80s and stuff when I was growing up, and they would have a tiny little tail on them that would disappear very quickly, and you'd say, oh, look, it has a little tail on it. That's a contrail. Now, today, you can't seem to find a plane leaving a trail that's just a tiny little thing behind it. It's always some, like, elongated thing or some gigantic thing that stretches across the sky. It's obviously particulate matter. In the first chapter of my book, I do a thing about some objective reasoning, critical thinking, that exercises that you can do that show you that this is particulate matter. This, you know, if it was just water vapor, as they say, ice crystals, then it would dissipate very, very quickly. And, you know, the fact that you see something coming out of a plane and a big long line that you know spreads out and turns into a haze over the course of hours, that's simply not how water vapor behaves. It's just not. That's how particulate matter behaves.
Right. And yeah, but then we all have these chemicals, aluminum, barium, strontium, and God knows what else, and they think that they sit there and tell us that there's an issue with climate change, yet they're up there polluting the sky. I mean, some of this stuff, I mean, where's the rationale in that, Peter?
Well, you know, there's always a kernel of truth in their lies. And I think basically what's going on there is that they're causing the climate to change with their weather modification activities and then blaming it on us, the guinea pigs, right?
I get that.
You guys are responsible for it. While they have planes, you know, the biggest scientific effort in history probably cost trillions of dollars, spraying tens of thousands of megatons of toxic waste over us annually, they got the nerve to say, hey, look, you did it.
That's sad. That is totally sad. Dan in New Jersey, you are on the phone with Peter Kirby. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hello, friends. Are you aware of any scientific measurements to support my impression that not only is the total energy output of the sun more now than it was, say, 50 years ago when I was a child, but a greater proportion of that energy is in the harmful, you know, like X-rays, gamma ray range?
Well, what we have is harmful UVB and UVC coming through because of the chemtrails. I don't know about, the intensity of the sun over the decades, but Marvin Herndon has published, along with Dr. Mark Whiteside, the sitting director of Monroe County, a sitting director of Monroe County's Florida's Department of Health. They have published a peer-reviewed journal article pertaining to the fact that we are being exposed to extremely high, anomalously high levels of UVB and UVC, and, you know, that's not good for us, causes skin cancer and things. It's bad for everything on this planet. Basically, that might be the number one threat from chemtrails, even beyond the particulate matter and the nasty stuff that's in the coal fly ash that they're spraying. UVB and UVC basically destroys all life on the planet. And, yeah,
all right, thank you.
I appreciate that, Dan. Thanks for your call. Chris in Florida, you have a question for Peter Kirby. Go ahead.
Peter, yes. What would you say we could do to remediate or counteract the chemtrails, the toxins? And have you heard about using ionized water, freshly ionized alkaline water, because if it's freshly ionized, then it has a more potent electrostatic charge, which can draw out those toxic minerals, those positively charged minerals like the aluminum, barium, strontium, and so many others that you mentioned. And I would suggest, I was wondering if you might have heard of soaking your food in freshly ionized alkaline water because it has the beneficial negative ions, as well as soaking ourselves in it and drinking it to draw out or adsorb, like your calcium bentonite clay that you sell, Dave. It adsorbs through what's called the van der Waals forces. It's three words, V-A-N-D-E-R-W-A-A-L-S. And that'll draw out, like I said, the positively charged toxins and pathogens. You can see them in the water within just a few minutes and makes the food taste a lot better, last longer, and actually often helps produce start growing again. It's also great for gardening. And it also draws out, you know, the pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, pesticides with their petrochemicals that are oils that are used to prevent washing off in the rain. And, you can see all that in the water. And, like I say, for gardening, it's excellent. Beverly Rubik has a great video. There's a lot of research on it showing how plants do so much better because, of course, you also have not just the other properties, the antioxidant properties, like I mentioned, the alkaline property, but the antioxidant property is really helpful. I've noticed my food just grows so much bigger, faster, lasts longer, even annuals and perennials. Annuals and biennials often become perennials and have a lot fewer bug bites, much greater yields. Of course, the plants suffer from the chemtrail spraying. And it's amazing that it also has the mineral ions, the best absorbed the best absorbed form of minerals are the ions. So what I do is I take Himalayan salts and Epsom salts, because Himalayan salt has a great variety of minerals, and I pump that through my water ionizer rather than using the tap water like so many other people do, and spray that on the plants with a spray bottle. And you can also use the acidic water for controlling molds, especially in a greenhouse.
That's a mouthful there, Chris. The situation basically is because of the fact, and I think Peter knows this, and I appreciate your call. What Peter understands here is that everything that they have done, from spraying malathion in the 1980s to save California from the Mediterranean fruit fly or the light brown apple moth sprays or any of these sprays, I mean, he talks about in the book. I guess the simple way to put the question is there anything we can do to counteract the damage they've done to the soil and our ability to grow vegetables?
Yeah. I have a chapter in my book called Solutions. And I'm not familiar with the specific water that you're talking about, the caller is talking about, or the specific things done to grow vegetables in a certain way. But I do know that what you want to do is reduce the toxins that you're exposed to as much as possible. And yeah, drinking pure water is one of it. One of those things. I have a water purification thing, and you want reverse osmosis to take care of the fluoride as well. And I suggest in the solutions chapter that also you might want to look at detoxifying. Personally, I in the book, I recommend Global Healing, Dr. Group's stuff, if you've heard of that, globalhealing.com. I mean, he has amazing cleanses. I've passed thousands of liver and gallbladder stones over the years from doing his cleanses. He has a liver and gallbladder cleanse, and that's a whole nother story that Sarah Westall didn't want to hear about on her show. She edited it out, but
oh no,
God bless her.
We've had Dr. Ed Group on the show before, so no, okay, he's no stranger to us here. And that's a good thing. I mean, you know, the reverse osmosis and soaking your vegetables in water before you eat them and prepare them is a good way to lift the stuff out. A lot of people use our calcium bentonite clay because it does draw a lot of the toxins out. I mean, folks, we're at a situation right now where if you look up in the sky and you see this crap being sprayed up there, this is a bunch of people that we put our faith and trust in and pay our tax dollars to that are basically poisoning us. Would that be a fair statement, Peter?
Yeah. Yeah. We've been supporting them societally, fiscally, in every way. You know, it's pretty much all been, you know, beyond our purview, but they've been just sucking the life out of us. I mean, this whole thing, you know, the establishment and the people behind these chemtrails, it's the banksters, of course. And, you know, that whole thing goes back thousands of years. I mean, they're just going for broke right now. They just don't care anymore. Which is the thing that scares me. You know what I mean?
That is unfortunate. And I mean, we're talking about Rothschilds and everybody that's tainted the education system and sat there and tried to say that science is everything. And if you don't trust the science, I mean, look what Fauci said when the jab came out. You know, you when you attack science, you're attacking me. Or when you attack me, you attack science and vice versa. And I'm just like looking at this guy going, you arrogant son of a, you know what? I mean, you get the same gist of my anger. You probably felt that multiple times while writing this book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't know how far they'd go, but we've seen now with the COVID thing that they are just going for broke, just total hell bent on absolute destruction of everything. And you know, they just basically murdered over a billion people with the COVID shots, And at huge portions of society, especially where I live up here in Marin County, they're just in complete denial about it. Denial.
Yeah. Now, this book is almost, this book is almost 600 pages long, folks. This is one of the reasons why, you know, looking through this thing, and I mean, I got to look at all the footnotes. Oh, my God, the footnotes. I mean, if you want to spend the same amount of time, I mean, literally, you open this book, and it could be your holy Bible of everything that has to do with what they're doing in the skies alone, let alone our educational system. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Peter Kirby. Go ahead.
Yes, Peter. I would like you to speak to what you can tell us about using it to soften the target and what countries. We know China used it for their Olympics, and I assume Russia's got it, and of course the United States. Are they doing it in the southern hemisphere, and what other countries that you've discovered are using this? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, as far as I could tell, pretty much every country of any imports around the world is involved in it to one degree or another. I've seen quite a bit of evidence of Russia as well as China being involved, Great Britain, of course, European nations, because, you know, those are the nations that have always come up with the most cutting-edge technology, and this is a very cutting-edge operation. But I'd like to take this opportunity to speak about China. I think China has been the second most involved country behind the U.S., with the possible exception of Great Britain, because I've seen evidence there's a whole thing in my book about how, well, specifically Taiwan, which is, you know, China says that Taiwan is still part of China. And there was that whole episode where Taiwan came into being in, I think it was, 1950, when Chiang Kai-shek's nationalist forces were forced onto the island of Taiwan, forced out by Mao Zedong's communist forces. And if you'll read my book, you'll see that the Flying Tigers, who many of you have probably heard of, who began operation in China fighting against Imperial Japan in 1940 and 1941, I have traced the roots of what I call the proprietary chemtrail fleet. I believe there's a proprietary fleet of aircraft that do nothing but go around spraying us. And then there are other planes that are rigged up, and they're also carrying passengers, commercial planes and stuff. But this proprietary fleet, I've been able to trace it back to the Flying Tigers coming out of China. And also in that evolution later on, you find these facilities in Taiwan. I think they're in cahoots with China at these facilities in Taiwan. And I think that they have been producing aircraft of the proprietary chemtrail spraying fleet in Taiwan. It's called a Tainan Airport, I believe, if my memory serves correctly. And it was the headquarters of this CIA proprietary airline called Air Asia. And there's quite a bit of evidence that, let me just lay it out. I think that the home of this proprietary chemtrail fleet is at those facilities in Taiwan, Tainan Airport, the former facilities of Air Asia. And I think that, it's kind of slipping my mind right now. As Dave knows, there's so much information in the book that I can't.
I'm surprised you could keep track of it all.
Yeah, it's been a struggle ever since I started this research, this problem of too much information. But basically, my hunch after looking at all the evidence is that there is a central hub for this proprietary chemtrail spraying fleet, and it is in Taiwan, which has a lot to do with China.
Well, and the thing is, too, it's no wonder the U.S. wants to protect Taiwan, because U.S. has interest in all of this stuff, and it's all a collective mess when you look at the CIA and NASA and the U.S. Navy and all the other Office of Naval Research and what they've done to basically ridicule and call people, you know, with the tinfoil hats, and you don't know what you're looking at, and you know, they think that they can control the skies. It's no wonder you named this book the New Manhattan Project, because seriously, I mean, there's so much damage that they've done to the atmosphere. I'm not even sure that having a greenhouse can stop half the garbage, because once it gets in the atmosphere and it dissipates and goes everywhere, I mean, it leaks into every little nook and cranny. And I mean, I can imagine what it's doing to people's home air conditioning systems.
Yeah, you can have an HVAC system that has an electrostatic precipitator. And actually, what are they called? I have one in my bedroom. It's like an electrostatic air purifier is what they're called. And it's based on the principles of the electrostatic precipitator, which is what they use to collect the coal fly ash. But yeah, you could have a centrally located electrostatic air purifier in your house, part of your HVAC system. If you have a nice house that is relatively airtight,
that will accommodate it. Yeah.
You can stay free of a lot of the chemtrail spraying.
We're at the break. We're going to be back with more of Peter Kirby and take your phone calls after these important messages from the Power Mall. Stay with us.
There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
And we are back at 33 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here, Central Time, where we are. And of course, it's earlier in the morning where Peter Kirby is. He joins us now. He's got a book out called Chemtrails Exposed, a New Manhattan Project. If you have not had a chance to get this book, I mean, for crying out loud, it's been out for 4 years now. And he's been working on this for 10 years. And the book is like almost 600 pages long. I'm serious. If you want to embroil yourself in controversy, I mean, this book is the next best thing. Brady in Arizona, you have a question for Peter Kirby.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I saw Dane a few years back when he exposed that the aluminum levels by Mount Shasta in California were 600 times above normal. Again, with the aluminum, the barium, the strontium, one thing that I found out that they're putting in the soil is the graphene oxide. And when you get this soil instability from all these chemicals falling upon it, the graphene oxide doesn't allow the water to stay in the soil, and it almost acts as a watershed. I wanted to get your information and your input on what you think about the graphene. And second of all, who do you think the main guy is who's controlling this, of the New World Order, NATO, NASA, the Bilderbergs, Rockefellers? Which guy is it that's pulling all these strings?
I appreciate your call. Thanks, Brody. That's a big laundry list, isn't it?
Well, the good news is that I've done the research and I have answers.
Good. All right. This is what everybody wants to know. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, that was another one of my problems early on. It's like people kept on asking all these questions. I'm like, I haven't gotten to that yet. I'm working. It only took me 10 years. You know what I mean? Because I did do interviews kind of earlier on, you know, maybe just after a year or two after I started. But yeah, okay. So you asked about the graphene oxide, and Dan Wigington has come out recently and said, yes, there's graphene oxide in the chemtrails, I'm told. I haven't actually heard him say that straight off, but I am operating on the evidence provided by Marvin Herndon and Dr. Mark Whiteside in a series of published peer-reviewed journal articles. Both these doctors have come forward with the coal fly ash hypothesis. They've done extensive testing, environmental testing, and they've come up with they've found over and over again consistently the chemical signature of coal fly ash. Now, that doesn't rule out graphene oxide by any measure, because there's a whole bunch of things that are in coal fly ash, and I actually have not checked. Graphene is an element, right? See, I'm not a big science guy.
Well, no, graphene is made up of it's like a metal, and it's a nanoparticle that, you know, they have used when they manufactured these modified RNA vaccines. There was a German scientist that discovered what they were doing, putting the graphene oxide inside, because it's like a little nanoparticle razor blade type of very sharp metal particulate matter in nanoparticle size that were being injected into these fat lipid nanoparticles. And they, of course, would house all of these graphene oxide particles that would go loose and permeate every single place in your human system and cause ruptures in the brain, strokes, and various other things.
Yes.
Because it literally would cut into your blood vessels and whatnot, as microscopic as they were. These little buggers, now they're saying, were released into the atmosphere. So this is kind of where this went. And when this German scientist discovered all of the stuff, he exposed it on YouTube. And as he was filming this presentation, German police came in, subdued him, and murdered him. Injected him with something that put him to sleep for good.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like something they would do.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's right. I don't want to say it sounds about right, because that sounds terrible. But yeah, I'm familiar with the evidence, or some of the evidence that people have been talking about, saying that the graphene oxide is in the COVID shots. But since we're talking, what the guy wants to know about graphene oxide in the chemtrails, and like I said, I haven't seen specific evidence of this. I'm told Dane Wigington is saying this. There may be some type of graphene in coal fly ash. I'm not sure. This is one thing that I have not looked into, because I'm going with the coal fly ash hypothesis. That's where the evidence is. I have just nothing but evidence there. So that's what I'm going with. And then the other thing that makes me question whether or not a produced substance, something, or manufactured substance, such as apparently what graphene oxide is that anytime you have to manufacture something, it becomes expensive. You see, and you need literally tens of thousands of megatons of this stuff every year to spray out of planes. So, you know, the coal fly ash is something that's just produced by the coal-fired power industry, right? It's something they need to get rid of. They produce it by the megaton. So there's an already abundant supply of it, and it works great for doing what they want to do. So I don't know how much they are spraying. I do think they are spraying us with manufactured substances such as graphene oxide and bioweapons, but those things are expensive, and I doubt that they would have the capacity to produce a lot of manufactured substances to spray us with. I think it's mostly coal fly ash, and they're probably using other things. And then the other thing that the caller asked about was who's responsible for this. And I would put it at the feet of an organization known as the Round Table. This group was succinctly exposed in Paul Williams and Rodney Howard Brown's book, Killing the Planet. And I think that they are the organization, the most top level organization, you know, beyond just the Illuminati itself. I think it's the Round Table. I think the Round Table is a front group for the Illuminati. And they've been around since long before this project started. Actually, if you look back to the earliest roots of this whole thing, that was right around when the Round Table started getting started. But I think the Round Table is kind of a secret society of secret societies that they kind of lord over all of the other secret societies, such as even ones that are less secret, like the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission. But I think all of the secret societies answer to this Round Table. And there's quite a bit of that about the Round Table in my latest thing on my Rumble channel known as The Abstract. I'd like people to go to my channel, The Abstract, on Rumble, where I'm doing weekly shows about chemtrails. And I've been doing shows about other things, but people have been really interested in the chemtrail thing lately, so I'm just doing exclusively chemtrails, one episode every week. And the most recent one is about the Rockefellers, mm-hmm. who are just up to their eyeballs in this thing. There's just an endless amount of evidence. So I highly recommend people go look at the latest video on my channel on Rumble, The Abstract, and you can learn about the Round Table, because I start with the secret societies. I think the Committee of 300 is in play as well, Dr. John Coleman's thesis, as well as Skull and Bones. There's quite a bit of evidence there. I got into the Skull and Bones stuff in a previous episode of The Abstract. It was also an article appearing on Activist Post called it was called Chemtrails Exposed, the Post-War Development of the New Manhattan Project. So if you want to look into all that, I encourage you to do so.
Yeah, for sure. And see, the thing is, I think you brought this up before, Peter, but we had a caller wanting to know, don't people doing this realize they're doing this thing to themselves and their own families, not just we the people?
Yeah, there's lots of ways that, especially if you have a lot of money, there's lots of ways that you can avoid chemtrails. But also, I'm coming to realize now that this establishment just has a death wish. They just don't care. They're really into death. You know,
well, like they're, it seems like, though, they want us to die so that they can continue to live on without having to worry about what the rest of the population is going to do to them. Because don't you think that once the population finds out who is really behind this whole thing and enough people get sick and start dying, that people are just going to get sick and tired and take matters into their own hands and hunt these people down and hang them in the square like they did with Mussolini?
Well, you know, we can all hope, but
yeah,
you know, as long as we have, there's too many things in place right now. They're not allowing the people's voice to come forward, such as the mainstream media, such as big tech, such as the Biden administration. I mean, they're all holding everything down. And, you know, all of us, we're just yelling at the top of our lungs, trying to get this information out. And, you know, I think that even if we're set free, even if we're unchained and our views become the conventional wisdom, there's still going to be a large portion of society that rejects everything, no matter what the evidence. I am convinced that, especially around here in Marin County, the county on the northern side of the Golden Gate Bridge, and in San Francisco, where I was born, 85% of the population is just on a death trip. They're just on a death wish. They live death. They breathe death. They eat death. Everything about them is death. That's the prime motivation in their life. Whereas, you know, we want life. We're looking for a better day. We're trying to build something, you know, where we can be happy. And all these other people, they've just given up. And you know, they love the establishment, and they're just going to go down with the ship, and you know, we just need that to happen. We need that to happen because you know, we can't go forward under this. We can't go forward under the weight of all these lies and all this fraud and all this corruption. I mean, it's intolerable.
No doubt.
intolerable. Well,
and then you wrote this other book called The Fall of San Francisco, which I'd like to get in while we still have 10 minutes left. You wrote this because of everything that is going on. You talk about the Jim Jones effect in this book. Everything that you were just saying describes the environment. And I mean, now they're trying to do a recall of Oakland's mayor. The FBI, as you know, just raided because it looks like there's some nepotism here with the garbage hauler over in Alameda County. And Marin, I've been up in there and I've been to San Francisco and I've seen how beautiful it used to be. Not anymore. And I take it that you probably don't go into San Francisco that much because of everything that you describe in this book.
I only go into San Francisco when I have to.
Wow.
And you know, I'd really love to tell you and tell your audience, Dave, that something has changed in San Francisco and, you know, there's a new mood and people have realized that the political establishment that's been running San Francisco is bad. And that they're moving on from it, but they're not. They're not. The political establishment that runs San Francisco is in deep denial. They may themselves, you know, the people who run it may themselves be aware of just how horrible everything is, but they're trying to convince the public that everything is fine. They've been doing this the whole time. San Francisco has been declining. I've watched the entire decline. I started driving a cab in 1996. In San Francisco, and I've had firsthand visceral experiences of everything. I know now what it was. I didn't. My subconscious knew at the time, but you know, every day there would be some kind of new failure, something that was just sending my life downhill. And I just thought, you know, I'll work through it. I got my own thing. I'm going to go do my media thing. I've been working on media stuff since high school, Dave. But you know, I figured I was just going to rise above it, and. You know, I still feel like I'm above it to a certain extent. But, yeah, the Jim Jones thing is the crux of what's happened in San Francisco. These are the fruits of progressivism or the Jim Jones effect, as I call it. There's a chapter in my book, The Fall of San Francisco, available exclusively at Amazon. And, yeah, I'd love to get into the Jim Jones thing because it's just the epitome of the progressive mindset. If people don't know, Jim Jones was highly political, extremely political. He was the political force that was determining the fate of San Francisco at the time. He had legions of organizers that would go out and knock doors and pound the pavement and evangelize for the progressive causes that he and other politicians, he wasn't a politician, but he and politicians of the Burton machine were pushing at the time. And then when the election comes around, he'd just steal all kinds of votes for you. He'd just send people out in buses and just go around to all kinds of different precincts. And then his cronies in politics, Willie Brown and Philip Burton, I'm convinced that they're running cover for him to be able to do that, to go around stealing the election. And in 1975, there's nothing but evidence for Jim Jones and the People's Temple having stole the San Francisco mayoral election. He stole it away from a good guy politician, a guy by the name of John Barbagelata. There's still a Barbagelata real estate in San Francisco, and I've been in touch with one of his daughters, and I've passed out books to people working there at the Barbagelata real estate. But yeah, there's a ton of evidence that I go over it in the book that they just stole it from him. And that was the mayoral election that cemented the progressives in San Francisco, this current iteration of progressivism, that cemented their power in San Francisco since then. It's Nancy Pelosi.
I know, but they knew you were going to bring that up.
Nancy Pelosi.
I mean, everybody, Polly T and the hammer deal, man, and DuPape and all this. This is, I mean, this, and they're saying that, you know, buildings have been dilapidated forever and a day and they're falling apart. And I mean, nothing is happening. It's like these people, like you said, enjoy living in this squalor. I'm beside myself that they could be that woke and that stupid and that ignorant as to not get out while they still can.
Dave, yeah, the current mayor of San Francisco grew up in what I call the Burton machine. She grew up in housing projects in San Francisco. And I think maybe a lot of people would agree with me on this. I don't think government should be housing people, period. But see, the Burton machine capitalized on all that. They said, you know, do stuff for us, be my supporters, vote for me, organize for me, go out and knock doors for me, and I'll get you your public housing. I'll get you this. I'll get you that. I'll get you the other thing. And it's all been this whole progressive movement has been nothing but a political organizing tool for the Democrats.
But see, he's had all the answers before he goes out and campaigns. So he already knows how he's going to get the public housing. They've already got a plan for all that. They don't do anything. Nobody campaigns out here. It's just like, you know, what they said in Hunt for Red October. The Ruskies don't take a dump for no reason. I mean, everybody does a certain thing. They have a pattern of behavior. It's like with COVID, they previously announced everything they were going to do before they did it. And we just sat there going, what? I mean, people just, it's like, this is a new definition of woke. I mean, they used to call San Francisco fruits and nuts, but I mean, we've gone way past that.
Yeah, they had success appealing to different societal groups rather than society as a whole. Philip Burton was the master of that early on. He had tremendous success appealing to most notably Black people, Chinese people, and homosexuals. And I don't mean to, you know, lump people into one group. That's what he was doing. And so there were actually some racist laws and practices on the books at that time when he first started doing that in the early 1960s. I think it was a good thing that he got those things off the books. And he empowered people to be able to eradicate those type of things. But once those things were eradicated, you know, by the late 60s, pretty much all of that was eradicated. The NAACP was doing great work at the time. Once those things had been eradicated and they had this political machine going, they must have said either consciously or subconsciously to themselves, well, this is a problem. I mean, we don't have anything to campaign on anymore. So then they just started making things up and, you know, inflaming things like saying, oh, the system hates you. Look at these white people. They're terrible. They hate you. They're trying to keep you down. I mean, the courts were ruling over and over and over again that you can't do that. And if you do that, you're severely punished. And that's the way it's supposed to be done. That, you know, this stuff about like inflaming people and getting them to march out in the streets and all that stuff, I don't agree with any of that. Because that's not the way you solve problems without tearing society apart. But see, they got into that whole thing that they were capitalizing on it. They were getting reelected. They were getting all kinds of money and stuff from these groups that were into this kind of thing, and they were very successful with it. And so over the years, yeah, they had their period of success where, you know, maybe it sounded kind of reasonable to your average Democrat or just your average person. Yeah, well, maybe we should help these guys out. Yeah, well, yeah. But I mean, and so that went on for a long time where it was kind of accepted and like, okay, you guys are just kind of fruity over there, whatever. But now it's just gone into just stuff that's just so disconnected from reality that it just doesn't make any sense anymore. It's just going into pure evil is what it's doing.
Well, and the crime rate, you have that to show for it. So, Patrice in Ohio, you're on the phone with Peter Kirby. You have a question? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to get back to, what you were saying about manufacturing. All this stuff in the sky that they're dumping is byproducts of all the, like Alcoa with the aluminum. I used to sell to Alcoa. I know all the byproducts of it's disastrous. I've lived in Middletown, Ohio, where AK Steel, Armco Steel, dumped on you, and all the stuff that came out of the smokestacks ate everything in sight. It would take the paint off your car. It's just like the Rockefellers with their byproducts with all the oil. This is how they decided they bypass the EPA and stick it up in the air.
Boy, it just seems like there's no end in sight to this game that they're playing with us, Patrice. Thanks so much for your call. Peter, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's the Rockefellers. It is definitely the Rockefellers. I mean, everywhere you look, it's the Rockefellers. And, you know, they've gone far beyond petrochemicals, but a lot of their scams and frauds have been based on petrochemicals. I mean, they're behind the COVID shots. Who do you think's behind Big Pharma? Who brought you Big Pharma originally?
Yeah,
the Rockefellers.
Yep. See, I got a new name for a scientific band called Big Pharma and the Jabs. That's what I call them. I mean, I'm waiting for somebody to come out with a T-shirt that says Big Pharma and the Jabs. It's got giant needles on it. You know, I mean, this is exactly what it is. This is Rockefeller medicine extrapolated. But see, they had help. They had J.P. Morgan. They had Warburg. I mean, they had all these people, you know, besides the Bilderbergs. I mean, they're all in on this, and we know they're all in on this. And even though they're dead, they're successors are picking up for this and continuing to make a mess of things. I don't know how they think that they can get by without being affected by this in the end. Peter Kirby, I thank you so much for being on the show. We're out of time today. The two books, folks, you can go to our guest link on thepowerhour.com and you can find these two books, Chemtrails Exposed, The New Manhattan Project, and The Fall of San Francisco. They are in paperback. They're on Amazon, but you can link to them through thepowerhour.com and the guest portion so that we get a little something for the effort. We appreciate you being on the show today, Peter. A wealth of knowledge in these books, folks. You got to get them, especially the chemtrails. I mean, that's a research book and a half. We appreciate you being on the show. God bless the work you're doing.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate you as well.
Not a problem. Thank you so much. We do this in all humility every day, and I just, you know, keep the fight. Keep on fighting. Thank you, sir. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, keep those prayers going. It's what helps. The Father is listening. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
Antioxidants and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.